The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, very good. Thank you for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and let's look at a Bible study tonight. I will stay within my allotted time. I promise that we'll not get out later than normal. But go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, where the Bible says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people, I often kid about this portion of the scripture, I say it must have been a Baptist church. And the people answered him not a word. Well, you know the story. We could pick up, if we would like to, in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19, where the Bible says that there was a decree that was sent out to be able to gather the people. All of Israel came onto Mount Carmel. You'll see, of course, that the prophets of Baal, 450 of them gathered. You'll see the prophets of the groves, 400 of them gathered. Those that ate at Jezebel's table. I mean, it was a great, great host of people that was there. And after they gathered, this is the time when Elijah stood, and Elijah made the statement asking the question, whose side are you on? And the people answered, not a word. Now, I like to take just a phrase there, if I may, how long halt ye between two opinions? May I say tonight, as I teach on how to deal with opinions, in my Bible study, here's what I found. I found, to my knowledge, there's only four different times in the Bible where the word opinion is mentioned. Now, may I say, mishandled opinions can hurt many people, yes, churches, oh yes, businesses, and others involved. You'll see here that it's used three times in Job 32. In Job 32, Job 32 and verse 6, here's an individual that's admitting something. He says, "I'm young, and you're very old." That probably means who he was talking to was about 56. He says, "I am young, and you're very old." He says, "Wherefore?" He says, "I was afraid and durst not show you my opinion." So here was an individual that said, "Well, you know, I'm young, you're old, and that's one of the reasons I did not show my opinion." Job 32 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show you mine opinion." Then you'll see in Job 32 and verse 17, he says, "I will," or he said, "I will also my part." Now watch what he says, "also my part, I also will show my opinion," all right? And so we have some opinions that's going on here. Of course, we understand that a young man here by the name of Elihu was a person that was deciding to admit some things. He said, even in verse 6 and 7, that he said, I'm young. He said, "You're older, you're wiser, I'm young." In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, you'll see that there's another mention of the word opinion. By the way, in Webster's dictionary, an opinionated person is somebody that really wants to be able to give a great adherence to an opinion. In other words, they don't want anything to stand in the way. They want to give a great adherence to a certain opinion. The word opinion simply means this. It means a belief stronger than impression and less strong than positive knowledge, all right? If you were to take and go to the Webster's thesaurus, the word opinion means this. It means someone's estimate. It means speculation. It means somebody's assumption. It means a theory. It means somebody's supposing something. A supposition, if you will, please. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, here's the question. How long halt ye between two opinions? Here Elijah is there on Mount Carmel. You'll see that as he's there, those that are the prophets of Baal, those that are the prophets of the grove, all of Israel is coming out, and he is asking a question. If you were to take the word opinion and you were to look it up in Hebrew, it means this. The word opinion itself in the Hebrew language simply means this. It means double-minded. It means divided in heart and thoughts. It means troubled thoughts. It means division. It means one who is mentally, if you would please, hobbling on crutches. In the Greek, it means this. It means whispering gossip is what it means. Well, now James has something to say about that in James chapter 1, verse 8, where he says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I believe that when I say opinionated people, then what that's talking about is that somebody has an opinion, maybe about a sermon, and they'll whisper it, or maybe about, an investment, and they'll whisper it or whatever. But there is that which is the giving of one's own belief. According to the Bible definition of an opinion, you know, what we should do is be very cautious when being opinionated. Now, we have to be careful because, can I tell you, opinionated people can divide relationships, yes, even in your own home. You have to be very careful. You know, God tends to lean negative towards those that are opinionated ways. Let me give you a couple of things to think about. Statement number one, God's commandments are not his opinions. God's commandments are not his opinions. The word of God is true. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 142, as we use our Bibles tonight, Psalm 119 and verse 142, the Bible says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and it says thy law is the truth. All right, so we know this. We know that the law of God, the commandments of God, the Bible says the commandments of God are not grievous. So that means that they should be well received and well obeyed. But we know this, that when it's talking about the word of God, we understand this, that the word of God is that which is truth. We understand this, the word of God is pure. So we understand that God's going to give us a pure word. He's going to give us a truth. He's going to give us a pure word. Psalm 119 and verse 140, the Bible says the word is pure, very pure. It says, therefore thy servant loveth it. Psalm 12 and verse 6, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. The Bible talks about how the word of God is fact. It is fact. Psalm 19 in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. So the word of God is a fact-giving book. Following God's word, here would do this, it will clean up, yes, even personal opinions. That's why the Bible says, Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. So the word of God is a cleansing agency. That's what it is. When you feel filthy, when you feel dirty, when you feel like, things are not going well, if you would saturate your mind and your heart with the word of God, it's like taking water and then pouring it through that which is some type of vial, or taking water and pouring it through that which is some type of hose and pouring it through with great power and assertion. And what it's going to do is it's going to clean out all of those things that's inside of that hose. Okay? So we understand this, that the word of God certainly will help us. Psalm 119 verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the word of God is right. We understand that. Psalm 19 and verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We understand that the word of God and commandments are not to be viewed as that which is, if you would please, not to be viewed as something that we cannot hold as our own conviction, not hold as our own truth. We understand this, that the word of God and the commandments are not just to be our opinion or our convictions. They're found in the word of God. They're found to be true, tried, true, and true. So we have to say, okay, now wait a minute, that might not necessarily be my opinion, or that might necessarily be my conviction, but that is God's opinion. That is God's conviction, whereby I'm going to embrace God's opinion. I'm going to embrace God's opinion. So, if it's in the Bible, however, may I say, we ought not to treat it as just an opinion of a man, because it's not an opinion of a man. It is not that which is, we look at that and say, that is the opinion of a man, and so it really doesn't matter because that's his opinion. Well, I want to tell you something about God, if I may. as you walk along with the Lord Jesus Christ, as you walk along with God, hopefully, somewhere along the line, there's going to be some influence. You know, if you rub shoulders with somebody long enough, hopefully they're going to give you some type of influence. If we rub shoulders with God long enough, don't you think that a holy God could change us? Don't you think he could have an influence on us? Statement number next. Okay, so let's give God not only his commands, but also his preferences. The word preferences you could interchange for opinions. So let's give God not only his commands, but let's also give God that which is his preferences, or if I may say so, his wishes. Let's give God the things that he wishes, his preferences, if you will. Not just the things that he demands. I'll give you an example. Let's say that my wife wants something to drink. Now, I'm going to tell you, my wife, okay, if she wants something to drink and she says, honey, I want something cool to drink, it's going to be one of two things. I can promise you it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be water or tea that is heavily dosed with sugar. My wife is from the South. She loves sweet tea. I mean, that is sugar with a little bit of tea in it. That's what that is. I was preaching for a fellow in Mississippi, and he took me out to McDonald's. He said, have you ever had McDonald's coffee? I said, yes, when I have to. And he said, let's go to McDonald's. He said, we'll get some coffee. I said, all right. He went over, and I kid you not, I counted them. He took 21 bags of sugar. He put it in the McDonald's medium coffee, and he stirred it up, and then he drank it, and he looked like he was enjoying it. And I said, I've never seen a man drink that much sugar in his coffee. I have never seen that. I said, brother, you know, you got to be careful because you're probably going to be ill-affected by that in some way. Statement number three, okay? You must understand the difference between spiritual convictions and opinions. Understand the difference between a spiritual convictions and opinions. You know, a conviction is something that is clearly and dogmatically proven with the Bible. You know, that's where you get your convictions at. It is clearly and dogmatically proven with the Bible. You know, a conviction is something which we're willing to stand for no matter what. You take a stand for it. You know, years ago I heard a preacher said, a conviction is something you ought to be willing to die for. Man, I'm having enough trouble just getting preachers to stand for it, much less die for it, okay? But it ought to be something you're willing to stand for. You know, a conviction to me is not necessarily my conviction, but God's conviction. But because I love him, doesn't the Bible teach this, that if you love him, you'll keep his... Oh, wow. So what is that commandment? That is a straightforward truth. That's something that's unargumentative. That is something that you can look at and say, thus saith the word of God. Now, because of that, I can sink my teeth in that. Because of that, I know exactly what God says. There is no variance whatsoever. Now, wait a minute. What if I find something in the Bible where God says that he loves this? It's not a command. It's not something that God says he hates, abhors, but it's something that God says he loves. Well, if God loves it and I love God, should I not do what God loves? Because after all, I'm close to the God that loves that. Amen. Good. I'm gonna give you something to chew on a little bit. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to stop doing thus and so until I'm convicted. All right, here's something to chew on. Why don't you stop or start doing something that's thus and so just because you love him? You know, you love your parents and you say, I love you so much. And what do you do? Mom and daddy want you to clean the room. And so you love them so much that you clean the room. Why? You know that's pleasurable to them. Well, sure it is. Now, why can't we as Christians love God that way? Now, all right. And so here, I believe this, that if it's God's conviction, yes, then it ought to be mine. If God gives a conviction in the Bible that he says, you ought not do that, then in my life, I ought not do that. Oh, you said, but preacher, you're asking us to be holy. Well, God says, not man, but God says, be holy, even as I am holy. Now, that's not saying that every single one of us is going to match up 110% of the time. But if you don't shoot for something, you'll never hit it. Let's look at some of the observations about our opinions and the opinions of others. Remember this, that everybody has an opinion, not just you. Have you figured that out yet? You step into a room. Hey, what do you think about this? Well, everybody has an opinion. Statement number two, opinions do not have to be expressed. Now, fellas, I'm going to tell you how to have a happy marriage. Every time you have an opinion, you don't have to express it. Hey, kids, I'm going to tell you how to get along with your parents. Every time you disagree with your parents, you don't have to say something. I'm going to tell you how to get a raise. Every time you disagree with your boss, you don't have to write him a letter or whatever you do. Okay, statement number next. So please remember, opinions are just that. They're opinions. What is that? That's speculation. What is that? That's theory. What is that? That's an estimate. What is that? That is supposing. I think it might be. It is an assumption, if you will, please. So don't split, don't leave, don't fight in the marriage, in a relationship, in a church, wherever. Don't split, don't leave, don't fight over an opinion. Now, I'm going to tell you this about opinion. This is really neat because I'm going to tell you something. I have seen people that do this. People have strong opinions about this one thing. You talk to them the next day, and they've changed their strong opinion about this. And now they've become strongly opinionated about this. And if this person today would have met that person yesterday, same person, if this person today would have met that person yesterday, they would have argued. And you're dealing with the same person. Now, I'm saying this. So don't split, don't leave, don't fight over opinions, okay? It's my observation this, that strongly opinionated people will not receive opinions of other people very well. When they're strongly opinionated, they don't like other people to give their opinion. Opinionated people are often not approachable. Opinionated people usually talk too much. Too much. Yeah, by the way, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that a wise man holdeth his word to the very end. That's what the Bible says. You know, just because you think you know something doesn't necessarily mean that you should voice it. I'm telling you how to keep your friends. Well, you know, let me give you my opinion, one girl says to another girl. Let me give you my opinion about how that dress looks on you. No, be careful. Be careful. Because if you, come on. Okay, here's one. You ready? Here's one. Wife walks out, spent all that time doing her hair. Don't beat my illustration, please. Wife walks out, does all that, doing her hair, perfume, makeup, dress, walks out and says, honey, give me your honest opinion. How do I look in this dress? Now, that's a trap. All right, so now what do you do? Say, honey, that dress, boy, I tell you, looks excellent on you the way that you, I mean, you know, just let her know and be honest. Don't do this. Don't do that. Okay. Be careful not to share opinions that is hurtful. You know, I prefer conservative opinions over weak and liberal opinions. I do. I'm a very conservative pastor. I'm a very conservative individual. I'm not for socialism. I'll tell you that straight to your face. Not for it. I'm not for the liberal parties that is predominantly rising in the Democratic Party. I'm not for it. I'm just not for it. I'll tell you. I'm not ashamed of it. Okay? And I'm a very, okay, but now wait a minute. Can I tell you, opinionated people need to learn, watch this, when something comes your way, respond slowly. Respond slowly. Never get in the habit of jerking the wheel. It's going to hurt your marriage. It's going to hurt your friendship. Okay? So opinionated people are often strong people. They may have strong convictions, but also they share their strong convictions with strong opinions. They may have, if you would please, strong opinions, and they don't have strong convictions. So they share their non-strong opinions, or they share their strong opinions about their non-strong convictions. You know, as a follower, I yield to my leader's opinion. I remember, I don't know why Dr. Williams was this way. I worked for Dr. C.R. Williams for 8 years, and I don't know why, but he did. And I'm telling you, it came up about every 6 months. I worked for him for about 8 years. And every so often in a staff meeting, he had a large staff, had a large church, and every so often in a staff meeting, he would say, "Now, fellas, I'm going to tell you how I feel." It's okay. And he would say, "I do not ever want you to wear red socks on the platform." Okay? Now, by the way, never wanted to. Never wanted to. Okay? But for some reason, he just felt like he had to say that. Now, what was that? That was a very strong opinion that he had. That was a very strong preference. Okay? And so I never will forget. He said this. He said, whenever you drive on the parking lot, he says, be careful to watch out for people. And I was pretty careful. I'd always get to church early. You know, we had staff devotions at 7 o'clock, and so I'd get to the church early, and I'd fix the coffee. So I'd get up there about 6:30 or so or something like that, and so I was getting up there early to take care of the coffee. Mrs. Williams, you know, the pastor's wife, she liked coffee. She liked coffee. Maxwell House coffee. But she liked coffee. And I'm not saying that just for your sake, Brother Wesso, though I believe you need all the help you can get. But she liked Maxwell House coffee. And so I would get up there early. And so Brother Tim Lejeune was our principal. And we were required, if we taught in the academy, to attend the devotional and be there. And so there were some times I taught Bible in the academy. And so I would go up, and we had a pretty large academy, a couple, 100 plus kids or whatever. And so, you know, and so I was required to be up there. So I got up there, and I would always fix the preacher's wife coffee because she liked it, and I would take it to her. She's an older lady, and I would just take it to her, just something I did kind for her, the pastor's wife. And so I would just go up because I found out what she liked, and I wanted to serve my pastor's wife. And so I would go, and I would do that. Now, can I tell you that when it wasn't done exactly like she wanted it, she'd tell me. She'd say, "This is a little bit too strong. Next time, don't make it so strong." I'd say, "Yes, ma'am." Or she'd say, "This is a little bit too weak. Next time, don't make it so weak." And I'd say, "Yes, ma'am." You see, she had the way that she wanted it done. And specifically, many times as a young married couple, I never will forget it. Mrs. Williams would come in, and she would look at us as a young married couple, and she would say, "You're raising your kids wrong. Now you need to do this. Put this in your life." And no, we never got offended by it. We just knew that she was sincere. She had us at her heart. And so several times she would walk in, and we used to do this 1-2-3. Some of you parents perhaps are familiar with the 1-2-3. Okay? So one of her children would disobey, and we would say, "Uh-uh, come here." And they would not come. And we would give them to the count of three. We'd say, "Okay, 1, 2, 3, And so they would have all that time to disobey. She walked up to me one time and she said, "That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. You're giving that child opportunity to disobey for 3 seconds longer. What are you doing?" And I said, "What should we do?" She said, "Let me tell." I knew she wanted to tell me. "Let me tell you." And she did. All right, never got offended by that. You know that helped us as a young couple? That helped us to teach our children to obey right away? So opinionated people, think about this, if you will, another statement. Opinionated people, usually because they're strong opinionated, can be very easily the first ones to be disloyal. You know, because their way is always the right way. Opinionated people who tend to get out of control won't receive a well lesson or a lesson well that they're going to like it and try and do it. An opinionated person will hurt others, but always blame the weakness on the one that they hurt. Opinionated people always feel the need to put in the last word. You know, in an argument, let me tell you, they always want to get in the last word. It's my experience that most, not all, strongly opinionated people have rage problems. You know, they just, you know, if things, they're short-tempered. If they don't get it done their way right then and there, it bothers them so much, they've got to somehow set it straight, okay? Because they can't sleep at night unless they set it straight. Strong opinionated people usually have an extra battle with pride. They just have trouble overcoming the pride. Strongly opinionated people need to learn that your right way may not be the only right way. So they need to learn that, you know, maybe their right way is just not the only right way. There could be some other right ways. And let me give you a last statement, okay? Learn to teach conviction strongly and opinions lightly. Teach the conviction strongly. Okay, here's what the Bible says. Here's what we need to do. Here it is, right here. "Thus saith the Lord." This is what the Bible says. This is not up for debate. This is not up for debate. Not up for debate. I'd say to one of our kids when they were younger, "Need you to mow the backyard." So the bottom line is, I want the backyard mowed. Okay? Now, I didn't care how they mowed it. They could have mowed it from east to west. Didn't matter to me. They could have mowed it from north to south. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. All right? So if they said, "Well, I think it looks better," voicing their opinion, "I think it looks better if you mow it from east to west, Dad. I think it just looks better. Probably the grass grows better if you mow it from east to west." That's great. Okay? Just get the job done. Sometimes I think if we overlook, watch, give people room to grow, give people grace to grow. Now, don't compromise your Bible convictions. Don't compromise things that are found in your Bible that are true and solid. But, and stay with me now, here's a person says, "Well, I tell you what, I think that all men should wear this type of shirt," or, you know, and now understand what I'm saying. Give some room for growth. Okay, I'm the type of guy, I guess I was brought up this way. My mom on Friday nights, I'll give you an idea. My mom on Friday nights had potluck. Now, her definition of potluck and your definition of potluck is two totally different things. Because my mom would get a pot. And whatever went in the pot, good luck in eating it. She'd go into the refrigerator if there was hot dogs. They're going in the pot. If there was pork, it's going in the pot. If there was steak, chopping it up, putting it in the pot. If there was potatoes, chop it up, put it in the pot. Then she'd find some type of soup. She'd put it in the pot, and she'd stir it up. That's what we had every Friday night. It was all put in the same pot. It was all stirred up. That's how I begin to like hot sauce. Because you can take hot sauce and you can almost turn any disastrous meal into a partial blessing. And so I pour it in there. Now, I thank God my wife doesn't do that. We've not trained Rebecca to do that. I thank the Lord the boys have married girls that don't do that. That's neat. But what I'm saying is, you know, you cannot be able to say, okay, my family, we have a conviction that on Friday nights is game night, and we're not going to break that no matter what. Well, that's a preference. It's not a conviction. Just make sure that you understand between the difference between a conviction and a preference. Make sure you understand it. You know, conviction, reading the Bible. Conviction, tithing, giving offerings. That's conviction. Conviction, going to church, sure. Conviction, modest apparel. Conviction, no curse words. No curse words. Conviction, no ungodly music. Conviction. Conviction, no drinking alcohol. Conviction, no telling dirty jokes. No looking at wrong pictures. Conviction, conviction. In other words, have some conviction about you. But other things about, okay, you have the bread. Do you turn it this way to eat it or this way to eat it? What does it matter? Are you a Chevy man or a Ford man? You know, do you drink community coffee or the sinful stuff? You just be careful. Okay, so what I'm saying is make sure that your convictions are Bible-based. You don't want to build your own cult. You want to make sure that your convictions are Bible-based, that you can say, this is what God says. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Here's a principle that God teaches. Here's a principle. The principle is clear. This is God's principle for this matter of my life. I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. That's a principle, okay? And then base your life on the principles of God's word. Evolution. It's a theory. It's not a fact. Amen. Creation is a fact. Amen. That's called conviction. King James Bible. Amen. Conviction. NIV. Not. ASV. RSV. Reader's Digest version. Whatever. Okay? Get some solid convictions. Married till death do we part. Yeah. Saved people married saved people. Yeah. Put God first in every avenue of your life. You see what I'm saying? In other words, get some convictions in your life that you say, okay, look, I'm willing to live for this solidly because this is what God says. You know what would do you young people a great, great blessing? If you got in your Bible and you said, okay, I believe this because this is what the Bible says. I believe this because this is what the Bible says. I believe this because this is what the Bible says. See, when I see people that leave a good church to go to something that is less Bible, it makes me understand they didn't know what the Bible said. So make sure that what you do has a good Bible foundation. Father, bless, we do pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.